All right, friends, today we're going to talk about paid advertising. And I need to preface this conversation with some background. I have literally spent years searching for someone that has extensive experience in the e-commerce space and who understands the unique challenges and needs of both micro businesses, solo entrepreneurs, and small businesses, particularly with paid advertising. What I found in my search was that there were a lot of people who were focused on paid ads, but for service businesses or for larger brands with huge budgets. Or there were people that only focused on ads but did not look at the holistic marketing strategy that the ads were pushing to. I also encountered a lot of people who just didn't understand the nuances of e-commerce sales. So this is a topic that our community has asked for over and over again, and I never felt like I could find the right expert to put in front of you. Until today. My guest today is Taylor Frame from Focus Funnels. Taylor is the co-founder of Focus Funnels, which is an e-commerce growth shop. He has consulted and worked with over 400 e-commerce companies, including several from our Proof to Product community. Focus Funnels has launched and scaled over 100 brands to consistent six-figure months, finding creative solutions for bootstrap founders. In addition to the overall success, Taylor's team has managed over $45 million in performance ad spend across a variety of niches. Taylor and his team specialize in working with women-owned e-commerce brands on holistic marketing that ties together both organic and paid advertising efforts. And this is key. This is critical to success. As you will soon hear, he breaks down complex ideas and strategies into easy-to-understand solutions, which I love. On today's episode, we're talking about trends in the marketing space, how much money you'll need to spend to get started in paid ads, and how to leverage different ad platforms for different outcomes. Today's episode is brought to you by our Proof to Product Labs coaching program. This is a coaching program specifically built for product-based business owners, and we have members from across industries and across the globe. Taylor will join us live in July to teach a training on quick win ad strategies that you can implement right away. And then he'll be back in August to offer ad audits to our members so we can measure and track and see what's working and make shifts as we need to. These are member-only events inside of Labs, so head over to prooftoproduct.com/labs to learn more and request your invitation to join. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Taylor, welcome to Proof to Product.
Thank you. Super excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to have this conversation. You and I have had a couple of Zoom calls, just one-on-one, and the energy you bring and the strategy that you bring to the marketing world, I'm just really excited to share you with our community. So again, thank you for coming today and for the upcoming activities that we're going to tease in a little bit that you're doing for our community too. So happy to have you.
Thank you, Katie. I appreciate the kind words. Super excited to be here. And I hope that somebody gets amazing value from our conversation.
Love it. Love it. All right. Let's kick this off by talking about your company, Focus Funnels. Who do you help and what services do you offer?
So we have been really fortunate. We have worked with just some of the most amazing brands over the last 7 years. We categorize ourselves as e-commerce growth experts. And essentially what that means is we help people acquire new customers every single week. We build marketing funnels for people that are based in paid advertising. So we're experts at Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram, Google, TikTok, Pinterest are the major platforms we play on. And we help brands position themselves in a way that attracts new clients and solves very strategic problems. Okay. Right. So our ideal client is anybody that has a physical product that they're selling online and it solves a problem and it's something that is compelling to the marketplace. And if they have those couple pieces in place, we help them figure out how do you position it in the market? What type of content do you need to create that's going to bring people into the brand? And then how do you keep people coming back and purchasing over and over again? That's what we do.
I love this. I love the repeat customers. We've been having a lot of conversations, at least with my advisory board clients, about how to nurture those existing clients because they are our best customers. They will come back time and time again. I know that you work with both customer acquisition, as you're talking about, but then also the retention piece of that. I'm curious to hear from you because I know there's a lot of folks that are feeling like, gosh, you know, organic marketing right now feels like such a just a slog, you know, like I feel like it's oversaturated and it's noisy. And how do I cut through that? So I guess I want to ask first, what trends are you seeing in the marketplace right now with regards to both organic and paid traffic?
Yeah. So organic only really works if somebody has a massive audience or they can tap into somebody else's massive audience.
Mm.
So we're seeing that some influencers are still working on the organic side. We're seeing that collaborations between brands are working on the organic side. And then we're seeing people that are being very educational organically that are getting some movement. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you have a skincare brand or a baby brand or something that's very educational based, and you're getting online, specifically TikTok, and speaking a lot about education, that can move the needle organically. But you are exactly right. The organic hustle is really, really draining. And these platforms are not stupid. Like Meta, Google, TikTok, they're a pay-to-play game.
Yeah.
And so what you really want to do is use organic to test your hooks. Okay. So let's say you have a skincare product that solves maybe three things. Maybe it's sustainable, which is cool. Maybe it solves acne. Maybe it's a really clean product, right? Mm-hmm. So those are three different hooks. Those are three different reasons why someone would buy your product. Test those hooks with different content organically. See what gets engagement. Then you take that, then you do that with paid,
okay,
right? So use organic as a testing ground to learn what your audience is interested in. Then you take those learnings, then you boost that with paid, because paid gets you in front of your existing audience, which is crazy, right? That we have to pay to get in front of the people that already follow us, but that's just the reality. It gets us in front of our existing audience, but more importantly, it gets us in front of the people that are most likely to purchase this,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
So you want to use paid and organic. Organic is a testing ground. Paid is the way to scale what's already working.
I love how you describe that. And just to go a little bit deeper for our listeners, when we talk about testing on organic side, I just want to add here, this is where you're testing static posts, you're testing captions, you're testing videos that you're putting together.
Yep.
And we're, you know, all of those different pieces are different aspects of your creative. And once you've kind of seen, oh, this caption, and it's hard too, you know, if we post a photo or a video with a caption, it's hard to know, was it the video or the caption? But we could also take that caption and put it with a different image or video and test it again. So I like what you're talking about of using organic to test and see what resonates with your audience and then leveraging that for paid. I know one of the hangups I hear from folks in my communities is like, gosh, the paid side feels like one, complicated, and two, like it takes a lot of money to get things rolling or to even get any results. What's your response to that?
Yeah. So the costs over the last 5 years have definitely gone up. But a lot of people are blowing that out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't see the cost being insane. And what I mean by costs is you really want to look at cost per acquisition, meaning how much does it cost me as a brand to acquire a new customer? And those historically have not gone up as much as people would like you to believe.
Okay.
So there's a couple strategies that people need to take into account. The first is that you have to have a product that's talking about a problem that you're solving. So let's say, go back to the skincare example. If you have a product that is solving a problem around sustainability or a clean product or helping somebody solve a very specific skincare problem, your ad creative needs to talk about that problem and talk about the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Too many times people are posting content that means nothing. They'll be like, elevated skincare for your spring routine. You're like, what does that even mean?
Yes.
So we need to solve people's problem. And when we solve people's problem, paid advertising works.
Mm-hmm.
So the last point I'll make on this is that sadly, paid can be really complicated. And if you're going to be spending a decent amount of money, and a decent amount of money is anything over 10K a month.
Okay.
Right. Anything over 10K a month, you really should find someone to help you that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. If you are a single or a solo entrepreneur, or you have a very small team and you do not have someone in your network that really knows how to run paid, it is worthwhile to invest in someone that really knows what they're doing, because they can save you significant amount of time and money by starting out with what works at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having to figure that out over 3 to 6 months and spend, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 learning on somebody's dime.
Right. I know we've got listeners that are like, what? Like 10 grand a month is so much. Like, I can't do that. It is. It's a lot of money. And so I want to ask you, for those that maybe are not already doing paid ads, what do you feel is kind of a minimum viable budget that they should go into ads? And I'm not talking about fees to pay an agency or a consultant, but really just like, what kind of ad spend should they be? Because I know if we don't spend enough, we're not really going to see any traction with that. But also, I want to be realistic of what people should be expecting.
Yeah. So look, if you're just getting into the market, I would start testing at like $10 to $20 a day.
Okay.
You know, which doesn't come out to much in the whole month, right?
Yeah.
And what you want to do, the fastest, easiest way to see if ads can work for you is create an organic post that's very problem solving, that's either like a testimonial of your product or a demo video that's showing how it works and why it solves a specific problem. So like, for example, we have this amazing Swaddle, and one of our top converting ads has been a mother explaining how to swaddle the baby and why this Swaddle works really well for young babies. Like, it's just an explainer video. So you post that organically, run that for 1 or 2 days, getting comments, likes, and shares, and then flip that into a boosted post and run it for a couple days, right? That's the easiest way to like try out ads. You don't have to hire an agency. You don't have to understand the back end of Facebook. You don't have to really get into the ads manager. Boost that post, run it for 4 or 5 days, see what happens. If you're getting traffic and engagement and people are starting to follow you, that's a good sign that you should continue doing that until you get a little more momentum.
Okay, this is fascinating to me. I mean, I'm feeling like a little bit of a dinosaur in the online business world, because I remember back in the day when people would say, don't boost your posts, it's a waste of money. But I also know the ads world moves so fast, the technology world, the social world. So now you're saying boosting is okay and people might want to consider it as a quick and easy way to test whether something is the right.
Yeah, if you're just getting into the ad space, right, and you want to do this yourself, that is the fastest way to get some movement. Okay. And get some traffic and start to turn things on. When you're ready to actually, I would say, go to the next step. Let's call that crawl.
Okay.
When you're ready to walk versus run, okay, 3 stages. When you're ready to walk, I would bring to the table maybe $1,500 to $2,000 a month that you can invest in ads, and find either a very vetted freelancer or an agency like myself that can start to scale you up from there. But gotcha. Start with the boosted post. That's a great place to just dip your toe in the water.
Especially, like you said, if we're testing organic and we're seeing traction, we're seeing comments, we're seeing engagement, shares, likes, all the, like, the boost makes it easy. But I'm happy to hear you say that, because again, I heard for years, like, don't boost your posts. And so it's nice to hear updated content on that.
Yep.
You know, you've mentioned, I want to go back to the solving the problem thing.
Yeah.
This is something that is really huge. And I need our listeners to really, really hear this. I think so much of what I see too, when I'm working with folks on marketing plans and emails and all the other things we're doing in a more organic nature, we're too focused on ourselves. We're too focused on what our business stands for and does. And those are important facts that we need to share with our customers.
Sure.
But when it comes to, you know, really enticing people to purchase and convert to being a customer, that's where we need to put our hat on as somebody. Like, I'm going to pretend I'm my customer. What do I need to know to say yes to purchasing this product, whether it's D2C, whether it's wholesale. We need to do a better job of putting ourselves in our customers' shoes and answering their questions. And I think that's a missed opportunity. So I wanted to reiterate what you said and just say, like, in so much that we can solve the problems for them, we're going to see more engagement naturally, as well as in the paid space too.
At the end of the day, Katie, have you ever been to dinner with somebody that just talks about themselves the whole time?
Yes, I have.
Like, how fast do you want to get out of that dinner?
Oh, so fast.
We do the same thing as brands. We just talk about ourselves all day long. And the customer is like, wait, I get it. But how are you going to help me? Like, I have problems. I have dreams. I have things, insecurities that I need help with.
Yeah.
So how are you as a brand going to help me? And at the end of the day, we have to answer that question.
We do. And I will say it is more challenging for product-based business owners, for e-commerce brands to do that in some industries, some categories. I know, you know, the greeting card world, people are saying, what problem am I solving? And I'm like, you're solving an emotional connection problem, a communication problem. So I think we also need to get outside of our space a little bit and maybe look at other types of products to see how they're communicating and then apply those things to whatever we're selling. So
I will say, and I'm going to push back a little bit on that.
Yeah.
We have yet to find a single product that doesn't solve some problem for somebody.
Yes.
And so there's a couple ways to figure this out. One is to listen to your customers. If you have anywhere where there are reviews, people will tell you why they're buying your product, right? So that's the first place to start. Yeah. The second is you need to actually get a little granular and write down what makes my product unique. Like, why should someone give me dollars for this? Okay. So let me give an example.
Yeah.
We have this really cool brand. They make these beautiful dresses. And you would think, man, dresses, they do not solve a problem. Well, they actually do. Let me explain. A lot of our dresses are built for moms that are on the go. And putting on a dress is actually a lot faster than getting dressed with a pair of pants, a top, a sports bra, a jacket, you know, maybe a hat, right? That's like five steps. As opposed to a dress, it's just one step. I just put on the dress and I'm ready to go. So the way that we position the dress is it fits a lot of body styles. It's very flattering. It helps you feel elevated and sexy and desirable with very little effort.
Yeah.
Okay. And the fabric is stretchy and stain resistant. So that solves like three problems that a mom might be facing that's busy and on the go, but still wants to take care of herself.
Totally. Does it have pockets? That's the deal breaker. Just kidding.
Yeah. Good call. This one doesn't. That's why you got to get a bag.
No, anyways, I know. I'm teasing.
And we have stuff for that too. So I'm saying you just got to get creative. Like literally every product that we've positioned has something that's of value.
Yeah,
that solves
for sure
a problem. And then we just talk about that.
Yeah. I love this. I think all of us need to think bigger and from a different point of view about our products because they do solve so many problems. So thank you for those examples. I really appreciate it. Okay. Let's talk about platforms. You mentioned that you are, you know, experts in Facebook and Instagram and Meta and, you know, TikTok and all the different platforms. One of the things I see with social is that people spread themselves too thin and they're trying to be everywhere at one time. Is that an issue in the ad space? Or I guess my question is more like, where should people start? And how do they know whether it's time to kind of diversify where they're doing ads?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we find this all the time. Brands will come to us and they'll be like, I want to be on all the platforms. So just to give some context, we manage about $2 million a month in ad spend, which is like middle of the road in agency land. Right. So It's a lot of ad spend because we're a relatively small team. But what we find is that different platforms work at different places in the funnel. So, for example, TikTok is really great at top of funnel, meaning awareness, engagement, getting followers, getting the word out there. It's really bad for conversions, which is bottom of the funnel.
Hmm.
Right. Facebook and Instagram is all over the place, but really it's great at middle of the funnel and bottom of the funnel. Okay. Google, for example, is really great, very bottom of the funnel.
Mm.
So the different platforms play a role in the different places of the funnel. And you want to dedicate the dollars based on what they're good at. So we have brands that are spending a lot of money every month, but we keep their budget on TikTok very low because what they need is net new people in at the top of the funnel.
Yeah.
Right. So we keep their budget low on TikTok. And then we scale up Facebook and Instagram because that's middle of the funnel, bottom of the funnel, where people are ready to make a purchase. And then we focus on Google, which is very bottom of the funnel, very conversion focused.
Right.
So the different platforms play a role in the different spots of the funnel. Now, if you're just starting out, Facebook and Instagram still works the best. Everyone loves to hate on the platform, but at the end of the day, it has the best user experience. It has the best conversions, and it's driving people into a way that they've been conditioned to purchase there more than any other platform.
Interesting.
And so if you're just starting out, focus on Facebook and Instagram. It still is the leader. Like we're seeing the most actual conversions and movement there as opposed to TikTok.
Okay.
Right.
What about Pinterest? What are you seeing there?
Pinterest is once again, top of funnel.
Okay.
It's great for ideation. It's great for influencing people. It's great for getting very low cost traffic to your site. But you'll want to set up some sort of retargeting ad on Facebook and Instagram to pick up the traffic that you're sending from Pinterest.
Okay. So on Pinterest, TikTok, we run low paying ads to basically gain visibility, ideally sending them to a spot on our website where we're also capturing their email addresses so that we have that. And then we can use retargeting ads as the next step to engage them in other platforms to then hopefully get them to convert to paying customers.
That is a perfect summary.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. And just to hit on that a little bit more is brands definitely, as they're starting out, do not want to spread themselves too thin.
Yeah.
Right? Like make content once and post it to like Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. You can have the same content there, but don't try to be everything to everybody. Get good at those platforms, build an audience that you care about, that cares about you, and then start to stack stuff in.
Yeah. That was my next question was going to be about the content, because obviously if what we say to convert to customers is different than what we say to attract visibility to some extent, right? So should it be the same video posted on TikTok and Pinterest for that visibility piece that's also then used on Facebook and Instagram for the conversion, or should it be different content? And I know this can get very complicated very fast, and our folks are already short on time. So the idea of creating multiple pieces of video and content is just hold up. This is not what I got into business for. But from a strategic point, what would you recommend there? Is it okay to have the same across all, or is it best to kind of tailor?
So you can definitely have the same content at the beginning across all, right? It's better to just be producing content and not worry so much about, is this content perfect? It's as a business owner at the beginning, at entry level and medium stage business, it's about taking action every day. It's imperfect action. That's what you want to do. All day long. If it's between, hey, I'm going to record a video and throw it out there, or I'm not going to record a video, record the video. Even if it's junk, just get it out there. Because what'll happen, the more action you take, the better you'll get at it.
Totally.
Just by nature of doing it. Mm-hmm. What we find is a lot of people get so caught up in being perfect that they actually never do anything. And so when they do post stuff, it's always awful.
Yes.
Because they didn't have any practice.
I know. So I just want to tell a personal story real quick on this. My team was asking for videos, and I do a lot of videos just at my desk with my ring light on. You know, I get myself dressed and my hair done and my makeup on. I'm feeling good. I'm looking good. I feel like it's good content, right?
Heck yeah.
Well, my team said, how about you try one walking and talking outside? And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have my prompts. I don't have that's a lot to walk and talk and record at the same time. But I did it, and I did it messy, and my hair wasn't great, and I had background noise with the kids in the background and, you know, all this stuff. It's one of our best performing ads now. And I was embarrassed to even have it out there, because I'm like, this is my face and it's awkward and I feel like I look terrible, but it's people are resonating with it. So yeah. I wanted to share that personal example with the listeners because done is better than perfect. That's one of our mottos here. And to hear you say the same is great.
Yeah. It's all about just taking imperfect action and it gets better and better and you learn more faster. So like, let's take, for example, if it's going to take you 10 steps, like 10 tries to get better at something, well, why not do those 10 tries in like 5 days?
Yeah.
Like just take action every single day and you got there faster. Whereas if you took like 3 months, well, now you're 3 months longer.
Yeah.
Right. So imperfect action is the name of the game. So let me go back to the content piece.
Yeah.
Organic and paid are different, right? So if you're just doing organic stuff, get fun, engaging, educational content out there. Just post it and start to see what's working. And depending on what's working, do more of that. In the paid world, you are right. At top of funnel, you want stuff that's engaging and educational, bringing people in. Mm-hmm. At bottom of the funnel, you want stuff that's calling people to action, being like, hey, we solved this problem. Please purchase this product, essentially, right? So you really want two pieces of content, is engaging and then asking for the purchase.
Awesome. That makes a whole lot of sense. Okay, in terms of like industry standards, and I know this is going to be a tough question to answer, and I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but this is your area of expertise, so I know you'll be able to handle it. But like, you know, we talked about roughly what kind of budget people should be expecting. Is there like standard conversion rates that people should be looking to achieve when they start doing paid ads? And I realize this might be different for every platform and budget and all the things.
Yeah. So look, the competitiveness of the industry has definitely gone up. There's more brands in every niche and they're competing for a smaller group of customers, right?
Yeah.
But on the converse of that, more and more people are willing to support smaller brands. More and more people are tired of the large brands that feel like they've sold out.
Yeah.
So like, yes, there's more competition, but the market is more receptive to small brands than it's ever been. Right. So everything is yin and yang. That's what you have to understand. Everything is yin and yang. So for conversion rates, I really like to categorize this as, let's look at return on ad spend. Mm-hmm. Which, like driving a car, you have to look at all of the pieces. You can't just look at the speedometer and then run out of gas, right? Or you can't just look at your oil level and then be going 120 miles an hour on a surface street, right? You have to look at all your gauges. So you can never say there's one gauge that is super important, okay? So that's my caveat to this. But return on ad spend, or ROAS, is an okay metric to really focus on. Okay. And what that means is, if I spend a dollar on ads, how many tracked sales do I get back? Okay. And the golden number that we try to achieve for all of our clients is 3, meaning I spend a dollar on ads, I get $3 of tracked sales back. Okay. And what that means is, we're trying to get to roughly 3 ROAS. And from there, once we get to a 3, we ask clients to dramatically increase ad spend. That means we've cracked the code. This is sustainable. No matter what your margins are for most brands, and once again, very broad brushstroke.
Yes.
For most brands, a 3 ROAS is profitable.
Okay.
Meaning we can scale on that.
Okay.
And so that's what you want to be trying to shoot for, generally speaking.
I love how you talked about the gauges and the dials and all of this, because I do want to dive a little bit deeper into that, just so our audience understands. We could run paid ads and spend tons of money on paid ads and then drive them to a website that is not optimized for sales, and you're going to lose people there. We could drive people to our email list and then not have a welcome sequence to warm them up and sell them, or a nurture sequence that takes them afterwards. So I do want to reiterate to anyone listening that's considering paid ads, like, you really want your strategic marketing framework dialed in. And you want to know that you have products that sell and content that's engaging, and you have some of these back-end systems with your email list and your website and your SEO and all these different things really buttoned up, in my opinion. And correct me if you feel differently, Taylor, but like, if those things aren't buttoned up, you're going to have leaks in your funnel where people will just drop off, and then you're spending money that's not really getting you the results that you want. But it's not the ads necessarily that are the problem. It's sometimes the other pieces or the other gauges that you were talking about.
So, Katie, I'm so glad that you brought this up. When we started our agency, all we did was run ads. And people come back to us and you know, 9 times out of 10, it would work great. But that 10%, people come back to us and be like, you don't know what you're doing. And we're like, well, actually, and we'd walk them through like their website was junk. They didn't have any SMS or email set up and like people weren't being engaged. And we're like, we're actually doing our job. Mm-hmm. The rest of your systems are all broken. So we actually, in the last couple of years, have completely pivoted. We call ourselves a full funnel agency. And what that means is we're managing the whole process. So now we do creative for our clients. We write all their copy. We buy all their ads. We build and optimize their website. And then we set up all their email flows and their SMS flows.
Amazing.
And the reason we do that is because we realize most owners don't have the time or expertise to do that stuff.
Right.
And if we leave it up to them, it doesn't work. And so you are exactly right. You have to have these systems built out before you start spending any type of real money. Otherwise, you're right. It's not going to work.
Yeah. And I don't mean to sound, I want to be realistic with folks because I think too, there's a misconception out there that paid ads are, you know, the golden ticket or the easy button to sales. And it's one piece of a much larger strategic puzzle that needs to be in place in order for it to work.
A lot of people put so much pressure on ads. It's like the golden ticket to solve all your problems. I actually flip it. It's a truth serum. You turn on ads and it exposes everything that's broken in your business or that's not optimized. And so what we look at is ads are really designed to do one thing. They're designed to get net new people into your brand. That's it.
Yeah.
Like they're designed to bring new people into their brand. And if you do that right, it can have a massive impact on the rest of everything you're doing. But you can't ask ads to solve every problem in your business.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people think, look, I'm gonna turn on ads and boom, we've got it set. Yeah. You have to use the tools for the right thing that they're designed for. And ads are designed to bring new people into your business. For nurture marketing, like keeping people loyal, that's SMS, that's email, that's your organic social feeds, right?
Yep.
That's doing Instagram lives. Those are nurture marketing. But ads are really designed to do one thing, which is I got to get new people into the brand.
Absolutely. Okay. Taylor, there was so much I wanted to talk to you about. We were going to talk about your 4 P's. We didn't get to that yet, but I just love this conversation. But like, I want to tease this out because you're going to be teaching a quick win ad strategy training in our labs program soon. Do you want to tell our listeners what you'll be covering in that training?
Of course. Yeah. And I'm so excited to present to your audience, but everything we do here at Focus Funnels, our tagline is we take the mystery out of marketing. We explain things, and I hope you can tell, like we explain things in a simple way that you can wrap your head around.
Yeah.
And when you work with us one-on-one, we're really good at helping set up funnels that are simple and that work, right? And so when we speak to your team, we're actually going to be teaching them one or two strategies that anybody can do that most of the time work, and that aren't that stressful and that aren't that expensive. So we're going to be breaking down a lot of the myths and a lot of the misinformation that's in the market. And we're going to be sharing what's working today on specifically Facebook and Instagram on how you can build some ad sets at low budgets that actually move the brand forward, right? That push you in. And we're going to be breaking it down step by step. We're going to be talking about content. We're going to be talking about how to actually set up the ad and keeping it very simple and streamlined so it's not overwhelming. And then we're going to talk about like, how do you look at metrics to know if it's working?
I love this. I love all of it. Start to finish, assessing the end result too. I think, you know, there's a lot of folks that will teach this setup phase and the launching of the ads, the creative that you need, but it really does that assessing piece at the end is the critical loop that we need to make sure that we're doing it all right. So Taylor, I'm really excited for you to come chat with our labs community about that. So thank you again for your time on that. Let's tell everyone where they can find you if they want to learn more about your services and connect with you after listening to this episode.
So focusfunnels.com is the best place to find us. We have trainings there. We have case studies. We have a podcast. We have a bunch of information that is available to everybody. And then on there, you can book a call with us to chat with my team about what would it look like working with us. And no matter what you do, even if you book a call and just engage with us, you're going to get a ton of value from connecting with us. So focusfunnels.com. And we're also on all the platforms on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You just search for Focus Funnels and we're out there.
Awesome. We will be sure to include that in the show notes so people can easily grab that. Taylor, it was a pleasure again. And I can attest, listeners, like having some time one-on-one with Taylor has been excellent. And I'm sure his team is the same way. I walked away with just refreshed ideas and validation too, and some of the things we were doing within our proof to product marketing plan. So just Taylor, thank you for that time I've had with you one-on-one, but also for coming on today to share your expertise and knowledge with all of us. I think, you know, the paid ad world is a, it feels like an enigma to many of us. And you've clarified and deconstructed it in a way that we really are able to understand and see how to utilize it. So thank you again for your time today.
Oh, Katie, this was the best. And thank you for awesome hosting, great questions, very insightful thoughts. This has been so much fun.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Taylor is such a wealth of information. I truly love how he breaks down these complicated marketing strategies into bite-sized digestible pieces. I also, again, appreciate that he and his team take that holistic look at the customer's marketing and sales funnels. Not all ad strategists do that. Many will run the ads without looking at whether the website is optimized or whether the email sequences are set up. And all of these pieces have to work together in order to get you maximum results. And we want to get that organically before we start pushing money to paid ads. Anyhow, I hope today's episode got your wheels turning. You can connect with Taylor using the links in our show notes. He has a ton of great resources and case studies on his website too. And for our Labs members, be sure to check out the events calendar inside of our community for the upcoming training and audit session with Taylor. We've got some incredible things planned that will help you take action right away and then teach you how to assess and measure your results and make changes as you go. If you are not already a Labs member, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs and request your invitation. That's prooftoproduct.com/labs. All right, friends, thanks for listening to the end. I hope you found today's episode helpful. If so, please share it with a friend. And I will be back next week with a new episode.